On this fine 1st of September, first day of spring day. I am Rush.
And I'm Nam. And we have had a very long break.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we have had some, it's not exciting at all. Victoria, Australia, we're back in lockdown, much like Sydney.
Well, we have been in lockdown this whole time.
Yes, but I think our last episode was from lockdown as well.
We got extended, as well, we should say. We got extended.
Till at least the 23rd of September. Because we're getting vaccinations done. Both of us are vaccinated. I am fully vaccinated as of today, of about an hour ago. I got my first my second dose, and I am already feeling the pain in my arm.
Oh, Lord. Well.
So that's happening. Plus weather.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done the weather in a really long time.
I am only one dose down at the moment.
Yes.
So
you had yours last week,
I had mine last week. So that was an experience.
Yeah, well, the first dose is not as bad. Like, you just feel a little bit tired and stuff. I've heard the second dose can be a bit hard. That's going to be interesting because I have parent-teacher meetings tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to...
So your child... Excuse me.
Oh my God, I'm so tired. Well, the thing is, we have to have our cameras on, otherwise I would have just sat in bed and done it, but that's not an option.
Yeah,
So that's going to be interesting tomorrow to see how I feel. I'm sure I'll be fine. Like, I won't be fine, but it is what it is.
It is, yeah.
Can't be helped.
Exactly.
But as you mentioned, it's the 1st of September. It's the first day of spring. It's a beautiful day outside. It's like, what, 21, 22?
23.
Oh my goodness. It's hot today.
It's 23 today.
It is actually hot. Like, in the morning, I had a shower and I washed my hair because I was like, well, tomorrow I don't know how I'll be feeling.
Yeah.
And because I've got parent-teacher meetings, I was like, I want to wash my hair today. I was actually sweating.
Yeah, so was I.
I was sweating and I'm getting ready. I'm thinking, am I feeling okay? Because I'm like hyper paranoid, as you know.
Yeah.
These days. I never used to be, but I am now. And I'm like, have I got a fever? And my nose is running because it is spring now officially.
Mm-hmm.
So my nose, and I'm sneezing everywhere. And apparently Delta, you sneeze as well. Earlier variants, you didn't sneeze. Mm-hmm. So I was freaking out. But then I'm like, no, hang on a minute. It's spring. I've got hay fever.
And I haven't been anywhere.
I haven't been anywhere to get anything. I'm doped up on antihistamines and I'm fine. I haven't sneezed and no sniffliness. So anyway, we haven't really been watching much because we've just been in a little bit of a slump. I've been working a lot. There's been a lot of work in terms of like marking and stuff. So I'm working way more hours than... On a normal school, like, I'm literally, like, sitting from the morning till evening and just working. And it's reminding me of last year's lockdown, because last year's lockdown was similar in the sense that the long hours that we were putting in.
Yeah.
Because we had those little snap lockdowns that we've had before.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad because we'd, like, put up work on the learning management system for the students and they'd do it or have a few Zoom classes here and there because it was, like, 3 days or something.
Yeah.
But this time it's been, like, what week are we in now?
I don't even know.
I don't even remember. Maybe, like, fourth week or fifth week or whatever. And we're doing consistent classes online and we're doing a lot of assessments. We had exams. We had... all of our year 12 or final assessments and having to mark them online is really, really hard.
Yeah.
So that's been taking like one assessment, which generally takes maybe 15, 20 minutes, taking me like 40 minutes to mark because I'm doing it online the computer. Yeah. Oh, it's really hard. So just been busy. You've been busy.
Not really.
Really? Well, you look busy. So that's something.
I've been writing a lot, and I don't know, just trying to keep busy.
Yeah, but, so we haven't really watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But we have watched some things. Which we're going to talk about.
Things still count.
So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about, we have watched the last two episodes of What If.
Mm-hmm.
So last week's and the week before's.
Yep.
So I guess today will be the next one.
Yeah.
But we haven't watched it yet, obviously.
No.
So we're talking about that.
Is it every Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're talking about those, and then we are also talking about the fact that we are all caught up on Ted Lasso.
Which is, by the way, our new favorite show.
Is our new favorite show.
This is what I needed.
We will get into it more later, but this is exactly what I needed for this time. Yes. And I am so thankful for Ted Lasso.
Absolutely.
The world needs Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about that as well. But before all of that, in the time that we have not been talking to you this week...
Mm-hmm.
We were treated by Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures, because they're still dual,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes.
We were treated to the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, which we didn't think we were gonna get.
Yep.
We got it in a random drop that nobody knew about.
No one expected.
And all of a sudden, it was just everywhere.
No, and okay, so this is interesting, because it came out on the 23rd of October, I think it was. August.
August, yeah, I think so.
Someone on TikTok did this video from WandaVision. The date on the calendar was the 23rd of August.
Are you serious?
And they're like, they had always planned this.
And they were all like, oh, we've been giving you a Spider-Man.
We had technically been given this date long time ago. No one knew what it was for.
Yeah.
But it was that date. It's so random. Yeah, it was the 23rd. I don't know how people, or whatever the date is in WandaVision, that's the date it came out. But I don't know how people make those connections. Like, seriously, like, it's insane.
They're much more in tune with all that stuff than we are.
I know, right?
I think we thought we were good, but we're not.
We're not even a quarter as good as what some of these people are doing. And the example of this is the Spider-Man trailer. Because when we first watched it, we were going nuts over it.
Yeah.
It took us, like, at least two watches for us to break it down.
Yeah.
Whereas we watched some of the reactions, and they were breaking it down, like, as they're watching it. And I'm like,
how do people do that?
Super quick computing in your brains.
Because I was just screaming the whole time. I was like, oh, my God. I wish we had filmed our reaction
But there would have been a lot of screaming. But I think it would have been fun.
But I was just like, oh, my God. And then, of course, the end of it was just, like, Don't even get me started.
Crazy.
We're gonna break it down right now. But
We're gonna break down the trailer. So not in like too much detail, but like we're gonna discuss it essentially. Because there's heaps of trailer breakdowns that you guys can watch.
And much better, probably.
Much better ones. But we're just gonna talk about like what we think, what our not expectations, but what thoughts are going through our minds, essentially.
Yeah.
So, first off, what are you feeling?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I honestly, like how I said, it just dropped in the middle of
the
morning. It was in the morning.
Yeah.
And we woke up, and I think we were having breakfast or something, and all of a sudden I was like, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer is out! And you were like, I thought we weren't getting that. It was so funny. And I was like, it's here, it's here, it's here. And I was like freaking out. So we watched it. Of course, I was screaming.
But the funniest was, you know what? I'm just thinking, when they announced that they're not going to have a trailer, I'm like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. How can you not have a trailer?
Same. I was like,
that's so silly.
That's stupid.
It's such a silly idea. And, like, why would Marvel do that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, that's really dumb. And then, of course, they're just lying to us because they like to toy with us.
Yeah, they really do.
Gosh.
I'm just really... There's just so much in there
I'm so excited.
So excited about.
Like, I am so excited. Okay, so Spider-Man's one of my all-time favorites.
Same.
Like, way before Cap was.
Same.
I will say Cap has been my adult favorite.
Mm.
But Spider-Man's my kid favorite. Like, as a kid, I used to watch the Spider-Man cartoons and things like that. So, love it, love it, love it. If you've been listening to us regularly, I've not been a fan of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Loved Andrew Garfield?
Yeah.
Loved him. Wasn't very fond of Tom Holland to begin with. And then I was like a massive convert. And I'm like, he is the best Spider-Man.
Yeah. I think if you go all the way back to our first episode.
Yes, I think we talked about this.
We talked about this because that was when the whole thing was happening. Yes. That they weren't going to have Tom Holland anymore. Yes. And the whole deal was going to go through and we were like freaking out.
Yeah.
So all the way back to the baby episode of the podcast.
I think it's like initial few episodes we talked
the
about.
The pilot episode. If we're going to get real technical.
We've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, we talked about like how, I mean, I have loved all of them. You not so much. Mm. But now it's just like...
I would say I didn't love all of them. I really genuinely enjoyed the Tobey Maguire era of Spider-Man films. I just didn't like him.
Yeah.
As Peter Parker and Spider-Man. I just felt like he was too old.
Yeah.
All of that. But I loved the stories and I loved the side characters. I loved the villains that came out of that. There was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But not really Tobey Maguire so much.
Mm-hmm.
But this trailer is so brilliant because essentially we already know Loki has established the multiverse. We know that that's coming.
Yeah.
That is happening like 100%.
Yeah.
And we see Doctor Strange in this.
Yes.
Who is doing all sorts of spells in order for Peter Parker to be forgotten again.
Yeah.
And we get to see...
Because up until this point in the trailer, they're sort of showing how now everybody knows about Spider-Man after... Mysterio revealed it to the world and how that's impacting Peter and you know his friends.
It's
like
not good.
MJ, Ned, Aunt May, Happy.
Yeah.
So like so that's what's happening up until the point in the trailer where he finds Doctor Strange and he's like, can you do a spell, blah blah blah. So yeah, I mean he obviously does the spell in the trailer.
And then things start going pear-shaped.
Going pear-shaped.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
And so we get to see, I think the two main things that we get to see is we get to see the Green Goblin's, well, we hear his voice. And we get to see the little orb.
The orb.
And we get to see Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Played by Alfred Molina.
Oh my gosh.
Now the other thing that we get to see is obviously Stephen Strange, played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
I feel his part is only going to be like a little bit. He's not going to be in the full movie. Could be wrong because he is in quite a few bits of the trailer. But I feel like it's just going to be like a few scenes here and there, not like the full chunk of it. But super exciting is the inclusion of Doc Ock and Green Goblin because that tells me we're going into the multiverse.
We are going into the multiverse, and then there is also speculation about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield because there's this one bit where it's like, it looks like electric lightning or something, and everybody's like, oh, it's Electro!
Yes.
And so that's why it's like, oh my god,
so it's
Andrew
a possibility.
Garfield, and it could be Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
And if they're all on screen together at some point, I will actually
have an attack. The other thing that I found was like, oh my goodness, in like driving me nuts was, you as well.
I think I know where you're going. Can I talk about this?
Yes, you can talk about it.
Because I have seen Daredevil.
I have to, but you can talk about it.
I watched it before you
saw it. clearly a competition.
There is a competition. I love Charlie Cox long before you. So, there's a bit in, like, they're showing, like, an interrogation between Peter and the police. And it looks like at one angle, this guy puts these files down and he's wearing a tie and a white shirt. It could be Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock. Therefore Daredevil. So we could be he could be in this.
So that's what a lot of people are saying it is, and I'm hoping that that's what it is.
I'm hoping because
if
too.
That is what it is, then they will really be able to tie in Daredevil, and then there's a possibility that we can get a Daredevil either movie or a series.
Yeah,
I think it would work really well.
We've already got a series.
Yeah, but like a Marvel made series.
I know, but we don't need to remake a Daredevil.
Well, you don't need to remake it, but like, just bring that back, you know? Because that got canceled.
Because that is Marvel. It's just not. This cinematic universe.
But what I'm saying is maybe they can bring it into the cinematic universe by doing this, and then if they want to restart it, do a movie or one more season.
Or continue the season
because it got cancelled. Yeah. So I think that is super exciting. I do have one fear.
Okay.
So my one fear is the VFX looks stunning, absolutely. My one fear is that, is this going to be very similar to Into the Spider-Verse?
I don't think so.
I don't think so in the sense that the story is different.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that will get saved.
Yeah.
But this is definitely inspired by Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, and then parts of Into the Spider-Verse were inspired by other Spider-Man movies, you know? So, like, it goes both ways.
Because I loved Into the Spider-Verse. It was amazing.
It's amazing.
Is there a possibility we might even get a Miles Morales? Because Miles Morales has been included earlier as...
His uncle.
His uncle was included in this.
Danny Glover, yeah.
And if we're going into the multiverse, there is a possibility that he could come in. Even if it's like a flash,
I don't think we're
going to
rule anything out at this point.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting...
I think all the chips are down.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of possibilities.
There's a lot of possibilities in this. A
lot of possibilities.
There's just a lot going on with, you know, the multiverse opening up. There's Peter's personal stuff going on with, you know, people knowing about him. And, yeah, it feels like the movie is very much, like, divided into two parts, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's going to be super exciting.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to wait to see. Well, the end of the year is stocking up to be absolutely amazing because we've got Shang-Chi, we've got Eternals, and we've got Spider-Man. The only problem is we're in lockdown. So
we've already missed Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
because it's literally was supposed to come out tomorrow.
Yep.
Whenever we see it,
being released in Australia, though?
I don't know. But it was supposed to come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, we would have been reviewing Shang-Chi for you guys.
Yeah, we would have. But, I mean, no. So, we're going to be behind on that. But
and it's not coming out on Disney Plus, which
like
is a good
45
thing,
days.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the way things are going, we might actually have to end up watching
it
on
that. We might end up
watching
it on that. But as long as we don't miss the Eternals and we don't miss Spider-Man.
I really don't want to miss the Eternals. Like, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Oof, I'm so nervous.
Yeah, same. Anyway, we shall see. Let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Yep.
And, you know, hope for the best.
Keeping it within the Marvel universe, let's talk about What If very quickly. We watched the T'Challa episode.
Oh, that was so good.
T'Challa as Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And then we watched the Bruce Banner episode.
Yeah.
After that. But I loved the T'Challa episode.
Yeah.
That was so good. That was episode 2?
Yeah.
Yep. That was brilliant.
That was so good.
It was such a good episode.
That was like, I mean, you don't really have, like... So we've just gone past Chadwick's 1 year anniversary of his passing, and it was really good. It was that interesting duality of, you know, it'd be so interesting to see T'Challa as like another character, right? As Star-Lord, as, you know, instead of Peter Quill, it's him going off to space.
Yeah.
But then it's also that emphasis of he will always be king.
Yeah.
Well, or prince, at least at this point, of Wakanda. And when he goes home.
They landed that, yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was like...
It was very emotional.
I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think they did a really good job of making him Star-Lord, but also making sure that he is still very much T'Challa.
Yeah, T'Challa.
Of Wakanda.
Yeah.
You know, that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
him, like realizing that he needs to go back. Mm. Yeah.
I think the storyline of this one, like I loved the Captain Carter one, that was great. But the storyline of this one was really interesting because we got to see Thanos, but not as the Thanos that we know.
Yeah.
Very much, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good guy, he's all of that stuff. So it would have been interesting to see, like, I like that little glimpse into what kind of person he could have been.
Mm.
And, like, because even as a villain, he's a very relatable villain. You kind of, when he was, when he talks about, you know, why he's doing something, it's like, actually he's not wrong.
Actually, that reminds me of, like, quick story, but, like, my friend, shout out to Laura, her nephew, at the time when Infinity War came out, they were talking, like, oh, who's your favorite Marvel character? Because he was quite young. He might have been, like, 5 or 6, whatever, I don't know. And he goes, I like Thanos. She's like, okay, worried about you.
Why do you like Thanos?
That's so funny. But, like, he was just like, oh, you know, because this and that. Like, she's like, okay, worried about you. Just slightly.
That is hilarious. I love it.
So when she told me that, I was like,
I think that is so funny.
Something wrong with you.
I think that's like the kid's purest heart going, I love the evil guy.
Right? It was so funny. But anyway, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
It was interesting to see a different take on
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's a good take on that because Thanos ultimately thinks what he's doing is good and right and just, you know? Like, I really like that. And even, like, when he's in Endgame and he's in his retirement, he's just cooking. He's just, like, chilling out, you know? He doesn't abuse the power of the stones.
Making his dinner.
He doesn't abuse the power of the stones. He destroys them when he's done with them. He's just, like, chilling out.
And how does he... I use the stones to destroy the stones.
You know, so, like, Thanos is actually kind of a chill guy if he didn't want to kill half the universe.
It nearly killed
me. So, we get that in this, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do we get any, like, specific things out of this?
Nebula was in this.
Yes.
We had, of course, Yondu back, Michael Rooker.
Mm.
I had Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
Of course. Nebula... who calls T'Challa Cha-Cha.
I know, that was like, funny.
This is
that
so
was
weird.
So funny.
Like,
Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha. yeah, so we have the Collector. The Collector's...
The evil guy.
The evil guy in this. So I was like, oh, okay. I mean, he had potential, obviously, in that, but he died. So, yeah, I mean...
Definitely is a what if. I think, well... There wasn't really much any... there wasn't anything really in this that was kind of like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What implications can this have
on
the wider universe?
No, not really.
But it was a really well set out story.
I mean, I guess
story.
It was in the sense that, you know, they have that little flash to Peter Quill at the end.
Yes.
And he's just working in a fast food place, mopping the floor. And like, you know. So, his life... We don't really know if it was good or bad, you know, at the end. Like, you know, what happened to him? Like, because obviously his mother died.
Yeah.
He grew up, who knows how he grew up.
So we don't know how he grew up,
You know, there's a potential there that maybe his life was not that great. Mm. And, like, you know, Yondu coming to get him.
Was a good thing,
finding him, really.
Yeah.
Was a good thing, if you really think about it that way.
Yeah.
But I guess there is the implication that, you know, with T'Challa being gone, like, who is king now? Like, you see his father, and he's very much old.
Yeah.
Like,
but he comes
old,
just in time because...
he's probably not going to be taking the mantle of Black Panther, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so...
So who is Black Panther?
Who would have been if he had never come
back?
And
this is where, possibly, Shuri has stepped in.
Yeah.
And...
But we probably won't ever know that.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so
really
that was a really good episode. Yeah. And then the following episode was, it was more Nick Fury rather than Bruce Banner, but Bruce Banner had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But this was a good episode because this was called What If the Avengers Were All Dead or something like that and didn't exist.
Know.
And essentially you've got Black Widow, it opens up with the scene from Iron Man 2 where Tony's sitting in the donut.
Yeah.
And is that lithium poisoning on his neck? And when they fix him, but instead of fixing him, he's actually been killed.
Yeah.
It starts with that, and then Natasha gets arrested.
Yeah.
Then we go into the desert where Thor's hammer has come
he's
in.
He's coming to get it.
Thor dies.
Yeah.
And then Clint gets arrested, and then Clint dies.
Yeah.
So all of these Avengers are dying.
Yeah.
Natasha is arrested, and then later on she sort of looks around for Bruce.
Yeah.
She finds Bruce, and this is the Bruce Banner of the movie, the last movie.
But it's still Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. Which is interesting because originally, apparently, he was the first choice.
Yeah.
But Edward Norton played it.
Yeah.
Even though he was not the first choice. So I'm glad they brought Mark Ruffalo back in with a voice.
Same.
And he dies.
Yeah.
As well. So
like explodes.
He basically, that was horrific.
That was like, I was like, what?
That was very traumatizing.
I don't like this.
I thought he was like going to turn into the Abomination or something, but he just exploded in like green smoke. I was like, ooh, okay.
What? Okay, fine. But and then Natasha dies because.
Oh, yeah.
She's looking up what could possibly be happening here.
Yeah.
And then she's fighting like this invisible force. And she dies.
And then we find out the villain is actually Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Who's gone nuts.
And he's wearing the yellow jacket.
He's wearing the yellow jacket. And Hope Van Dyne has died.
Yeah.
And so he's basically taking revenge on for her death. But we get to see Loki in this episode. We get to see Loki as, you know, Loki coming to Earth.
Yeah.
And he basically takes over Earth.
At the end.
How he would have if the Avengers had not existed.
Yeah.
So clearly, if the Avengers had not existed, then even the T'Chari wouldn't have needed to come down with Thanos. Loki would have just taken over.
Yeah, he would have
no problems.
This is all mine!
No issues. He just walks into the UN and takes over.
Literally.
So in that sense, it was a bit uneventful. It was kind of fun to watch.
It was funny. Yeah,
it was funny. It wasn't as like emotional or anything, even though they were all dying.
We know what happened, so it's fine.
Yeah, but it was a good episode. I quite enjoyed that. But the one thing I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed this in this episode. Whenever they'd have like a skyline, you know, when Coulson's driving through the desert, you'd always see the Watcher.
Mm.
So like so far, the Watcher hasn't really done anything. He's kind of just watching. But I have a feeling, like, at some point, he's going to have something to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just telling the stories. Yeah, I have a feeling, like,
last episode will probably have some kind of implication of how much he knows.
He knows. We might even get to see him in one of the movies. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or shows. I just feel
maybe
like...
Maybe
Spider-Man.
Because it's a free-for-all at this point.
Well, they've already said that What If is canon.
Yeah.
So it's not like... Now that we know that there are multiverses, I think What If presents a really interesting opportunity.
Certainly, to do that.
To do that. So let's see what happens. So yeah, that was our Marvel wrap-up.
That was our Marvel wrap-up. We don't know what episode is next, actually.
Not sure.
But I'm waiting for Zombie Cap. Okay.
Yes.
I'm waiting for Zombie Cap because Sebastian Stan's going to be in that again, and I just really need more Bucky in my life.
As Zombie Cap doesn't have a voice, because it's not Chris Evans' voice, I'm good with that. I will be honest, it's not because I'm a huge Chris Evans fan. It just doesn't sound like him.
It doesn't sound like Steve, yeah.
It's and not that.
It was really like, I mean, when you listen to that episode of us,
it
like,
was very jarring.
It was a bit like, he just didn't sound right next to everybody else.
No, it didn't sound right because everyone else is played by themselves.
Yeah, I was like...
And then he's not himself. Like, even in this episode, Tony Stark is not RDJ.
We didn't have ScarJo.
No.
We didn't have...
Mark Ruffalo was the only one.
We had Mark Ruffalo. We had Tom Hiddleston. We had Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes. So that was fine.
That was fine. So in the scenes with Loki and...
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, so Loki and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
So those were really
good.
Yeah,
those were fine, exactly.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. Oh, and we had Jeremy Renner back as Hawkeye.
But every time you'd have Natasha talking, you'd be like, that's not her.
Yeah. It just didn't feel right.
And I get it. Their contracts are over. You're not going to bring them, especially ScarJo. She's not coming back to Disney at all. But
as we say here,
but the point is, like, we're so used to these voices. So used to them as these characters that even a voice actor cannot, like, replace that. Unless, standards, I guess. And my standards are very high, as you know. But, like, you know, so Red Skull, for example. That was Hugo Weaving. But you had Ross McQuarrie, who did the voice later on. And you could not tell the difference.
No. He's just really good at impressions.
You could not tell the difference. So I wish they had gotten someone who could have done that. So it would have at least had... And this is no disrespect for the people who did. Because Lake Bell did Natasha. Yeah. And she's a brilliant actress.
She's really good, yeah.
This is no disrespect to the people who are doing the voice. Yeah. But I'm sorry, but it doesn't sound like these beloved characters that we have,
We've been with them for too long for us to be like, oh, you know.
So if I had to make a criticism, that would be my criticism.
Yeah, that's the only thing, really.
Yeah.
But, it's been interesting. And I'm just excited for Zombie Cap and more Bucky Bonds.
I know. So that'll be good. Yeah. Yay. All right, let's move on to the next bit, which is...
Ted Lasso!
Woohoo!
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited!
This is like a new, absolutely favorite show. So Ted Lasso, the cast is stunning.
Oh, brilliant.
We have Jason Sudeikis, the brilliant Jason Sudeikis, as the title character,
Ted Lasso.
We have Hannah Waddingham as Rebecca, who I love her so much.
And so originally saw her in Game of Thrones.
Oh, was she in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, she's the one who was, like, you know, shaming Cersei. That is the first time I ever saw her.
I've never seen her in anything.
This, I was like, oh my god, I don't think I'm gonna like her. But
I've never seen her in anything.
But she's so great.
I'm just looking through her, what she's done. She's Game of Thrones. She's in she's in the movie Les Mis.
Oh.
I wonder what she is.
Okay.
She's in The Hustle with, Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
And she's in Sex Education. Okay.
Okay.
I wonder. But anyway, so you've got Hannah Waddingham, you've got Juno Temple as Keely Jones. Aww. She is,
she's so cute.
Such a cute character. You've got Brendan Hunt as Coach Beard. Very, very funny. You have Jeremy Swift as Higgins. Hilarious. Super funny guy. Phil Dunster as Jamie
Tattoo.
That song was stuck in my head the other day. I was in the shower.
I was like,
oh no, it's so bad. We've got Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent.
Roy Kent.
So funny. And then we've got Nick Mohammed as Nathan.
Yeah.
Who is so funny. Oh my goodness.
It's so good.
And then you've got a whole bunch of other people as the footballers. And it's just really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Anthony Head is in this.
Yes. As Rebecca's ex-husband.
If you don't know this, but Anthony Head is Giles from Buffy.
Yeah.
Brilliant. The cast is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Why had we not watched this when I had said this would be a good idea to watch?
Because, in my defense, and I said this in the last episode or whenever it was, when the first trailer came out, it didn't look funny. And I was just like, this is Jason Sudeikis, how could it not be funny? And I was like, I don't think I'm going to watch this, as much as I love
him. And I even said, I was like, I think that's a throw off. I think we should watch it. Like, let's watch it.
I was like, as much as I love him, I don't think I'm going to be able to watch it.
Mm.
And then the second trailer came out, and in the, you know, thing of Apple TV, they didn't make a good first trailer. they just didn't. But the second one... was really good.
The second season, yeah.
The second trailer, I should say, was really good. For the first season.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay, it looks interesting. Mm. And then it was on the list for, like, you know, a long time. And then we just decided, when did we start watching
it? Well, let's face it. Yeah. We've been watching a lot of things, and we don't watch a lot of stuff on Apple TV. No, so really it kind of fell by the wayside. But then when the Emmy Award nominations came out.
And it has 20 nominations.
That's a lot.
And I was like, okay, we're going to watch this show.
Yeah, so let's watch it.
Because there's clearly something here that we're not getting.
And I was hearing a lot about it on Twitter and on Instagram, and everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, why have we not watched this?
Yeah.
And, oh my goodness, like, what a gem.
So good. I have been looking for a comedy show to watch that is heartfelt as well. And this absolutely is.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And now I'm just like, it's like my new favorite thing.
Okay, so the thing, the way it's I like would classify show. This show. So, okay, the basic premise of the show is Ted Lasso. He's from Kansas. He's got the strongest twang around. Jason Sudeikis has done a brilliant job with his accent.
Brilliant.
And he is an American football coach, who's a very good football coach. And him and his partner, coaching partner,
Coach Beard,
they have been given a job as English Football League, Premier League coaches
at a Premier League
club called Richmond, which is owned by Rebecca.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's got this club which used to be owned by her husband, and she's got it in the divorce, I think.
Yeah.
And her main goal in life is, she hates her husband so much, her main goal in life is to destroy this club.
Destroy the club that he loved so much.
Which is why she
hired him.
Hires Ted Lasso, because he doesn't know anything about football.
Nope.
But yet, he...
Being the determined man
he turns it around.
He gets it done.
That's the basic premise of it. It's hilarious. The thing I love about this show is that it has a lot of swearing. Like, a lot of swearing. A lot of swearing.
Yeah.
But I could still make my kids watch it because it is so heartfelt.
It's so good. And the creator is Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs.
Yes.
We should just put that out there.
Yes.
So
if you're a massive Scrubs fan, give this a go if you haven't watched it. Because we love Scrubs. Like, yes.
Because, you know, Scrubs is amazing. And it's the same sort of formula where it makes you laugh so much. Mm. But then there's, like, heartfelt moments.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, there's, like, something that will really happen where you're like, oh my gosh. It's like this heartbreaking thing. But then it's just right back to laughs again. Which I love. Like, you know, it's just...
I think that's good comedy.
Yeah, that's good
comedy. That's good comedy.
That's good comedy.
Okay, so Ted Lasso, we've decided we love him. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll talk about him at the end.
Yeah.
But let's talk about favorite characters, like, apart from Ted Lasso.
I don't know,
Do you have a favorite character?
I love all of them so much. Roy Kent.
I love Roy Kent. Okay, interesting thing about Roy Kent. This is played by Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
He's such a fun character.
Yeah.
Like, in a very non-fun way.
He's so serious.
He's so serious. He never cracks a smile.
Yeah.
He's essentially the quintessential aging footballer. Yeah. He's not good anymore. He's very slow.
Yeah.
He can't get goals very much.
Yeah.
That club doesn't win anything. They're quite sad.
No.
And he's just hanging on by a thread. And by the end of it,
he started playing when he was very young.
Yeah. I think he was 9 or something. So he's like a football prodigy. And now he's just aging out.
Yeah, now he's aging out.
He's got knee problems and all of this stuff. And the interesting thing about Brett Goldstein is, I didn't know this, but he's actually a comedian. Which really surprised me. And he wrote, he was one of the co-writers of The Catherine Tate Show, which is like a really big comedy show in England. So,
are you from LOLO?
So he's got serious comedic chops, which is brilliant. But watching him, you could never tell.
Yeah.
Right? I love Roy Kent.
Roy Kent is such a great character. He's gruff. He's rough.
At some point, he literally just goes...
just grunts and everything. But when it comes down to, when you strip all of the funniness and all of the swearing and all of the roughness away.
Yeah.
He's this really, like, heartfelt character because he's going through something serious of being, like, football has been his whole life. And now he's going...
He's got nothing
he's
else.
He's on his way out, basically. Like, there's that brilliant scene where he injures himself. Mm. Everybody, like, cheers him off the thing because, you know, he's done. Mm. He's retired.
Oh, yeah.
He's everything.
He goes to the
changing room and Keely comes in and he just lays his head on her shoulder and then just ends there.
It's such a beautiful
scene.
It's
such a great scene because it's like, because he's like, you can't come in here. He's getting, like, really, like, aggravated. But then he just sits down and he just puts his head on his shoulder because, like, he's just finally accepted it. And then, like, even in season two, he's sort of going through the motions through of, like, trying to find the thing that is going to...
Make him happy.
Make him happy.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's such a good character.
So good.
I will say, I love Jamie Todd.
Jamie Todd.
I really do. I think he is such a good character.
Yeah.
He is the most annoying guy ever. He is awful.
He's awful.
He's really awful. Especially in season 1. You hate him. Like, hate him.
Yeah.
And he's very much like, he's arrogant. He knows he's good.
Yeah.
He knows, he's the only one who kicks goals in the team.
Yeah.
If they don't have him, they don't win.
Yeah.
So he knows that. But now that he's back in season 2, he's like a whole other man. He's still very much the same arrogant, horrible guy.
Chav.
At times. Oh man, he's such a chav. But he you can see deep down he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of that is a front. And he's young. He's only supposed to be like 23, 24. You know? He's a kid.
Yeah.
And I love his rivalry
with Roy.
I think it's brilliant.
He's not coaching.
He's not coaching. I love his accent.
Keely. <Gila. laughs>
Oh my god, it's so funny. He's not coaching me.
I'm sorry, we don't mean to laugh. But it's just, it's so brilliant.
He's so good. Yeah. I love him. He was in a show called Humans with Gemma Ward.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now
I want to watch that because I think he's actually really cute.
He's great.
Yeah, he's very cute. So I really love him.
Mm.
But I think one of my... I love the girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keely and Rebecca. I think they're so
Rebecca
good.
Is like... I mean, Keely's great, true. But Rebecca is such an amazing character.
She's
gosh. She's so good. She's just that kind of person who was like... You know, she's so determined to do things a certain way. And then Ted Lasso comes in.
I think she's such a deeply hurt person.
Yeah.
Like, she's so... Like, she looks as if nothing can
bother her.
She's this cool, ice-cool blonde.
Yeah.
She's tall.
Oh,
she's
amazing.
Stunning. She's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
She looks... Pardon my French, but she looks scary.
Yeah, she does.
She looks scary. She's very intimidating.
Yeah.
But she's such a softie inside.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually such a softie. I love that.
Yeah, I love that about her.
And she's very much struggling with the fact, with self-esteem. And you look at someone like her and go, you're rich, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. What do you have to struggle with?
Yeah. But
she
it's
is.
Because her husband has torn her down so much.
Yeah.
So much. You know, isolated her from friends and everything. That's sort of what she goes through in the first season.
Well, and also, I think there's a bit where she says... Well, I think when her ex-husband's new girlfriend or whatever is pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's so hurt because she's like, you never wanted...
Children.
And he goes, oh, you know. And so clearly she had wanted children, but she had made that sacrifice to be in that marriage. And now he's... completely ignoring that, you know? So she gave up so much for him.
For him, yeah.
You know, and, oh, she's such a good character. I love her. Absolutely adore her.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh,
she's great.
She might be in a lot of trouble right now.
I know.
Oh my god, I'm so nervous.
Oh my god, I'm so nervous.
So I really like her, and I'm really liking her friendships, because so long she's not had friends.
Yeah.
But now she's slowly getting that. She's getting that with Keely.
Yeah.
She's...
Just stop for 1 second. Just want to point out there is a bird outside the window. Oh, yeah. So if you hear anything weird, that's what it is, okay?
Side note, we've been dealing with... in Australia, if you're not from here...
I can just hear it, and yeah, I know it's going to be in the thing.
Oh, of course. Can't get rid of it. Sorry. Yeah. In Australia, we have magpies, which are really horrible birds.
Horrendous. I hate birds. Them.
They can be quite pretty, but I hate them.
Yeah.
God forgive me. I hate those birds. But they swoop on you in springtime because they've had babies and they think that everyone on earth is coming to steal their babies when no one cares.
No one gives a crap about their babies.
So they'll swoop on you. They can actually injure
hurt
you.
Yeah.
And I think it was last month, a very tragic case up in Brisbane where this lady, she was out on a walk with her baby strapped in front of her. And a magpie swooped and she sort of started walking fast and she tripped and the baby hit her head on the pavement and died.
Yeah.
So
it was really bad.
These
it
birds can so be quite bad. Dangerous.
Yeah.
I like the segue that we've gone
Yeah,
into.
Sorry.
It's gotten really depressing. But... The reason why I'm saying this is because now that we don't have a dog anymore, aw, rest in peace, our beautiful Jethro, our backyard has become a haven for wildlife.
Wildlife. There are birds. There are cats.
Oh, good Lord.
There are...
I hope we don't get anything else.
Yeah.
God forbid we get a snake in there.
God, stop.
Die.
Don't even say it.
No, but seriously, and this is what Mum the other day goes, she goes, we always thought Jethro was so useless. He wasn't.
He
actually was doing stuff.
He kept all the magpies away.
But now they're scoping our garage out to probably lay eggs because one of them is really fat, so I'm thinking that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know I'm stereotyping, but whatever. They'll start swooping on us.
It's a bird. It's fine.
I know, but it'll start swooping on us.
Yeah.
If we try and go get a bottle of Coke from outside.
Yeah.
Because we've got our fridge in there. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, I am so stressed out.
I know.
Anyway.
So anyway, that was a segue you didn't need.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Where were we?
We were talking about Rebecca.
The girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were talking about the girls. So I really like the friendship that she's developing with Keely and her.
Yeah.
But I also really like the friendship she's developing with Ted.
Yeah. I love the friendship with Ted. Like, I think that is...
And he sort of starts it with him bringing her biscuits every day.
Every day. He brings it. And she's just like, oh my God, these are so good. Find out where they're from.
Higgins keeps looking for them.
Yeah.
And then, I think it's like in the third episode, you find out that Ted's the one that bakes
them. Actually bakes them every night. Oh,
that's
so cute.
That's
oh my
so
gosh.
Sweet.
I
love
it. I need a Ted Lasso in my life.
I would love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so really amazing character. So now that we are talking about Rebecca and Ted, let's talk about Ted.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Played by the absolutely brilliant
Jason Sudeikis.
Who I have really... So the first movie of his that I saw was Going
the Distance, yeah.
And I loved him from then.
Yeah.
Because he was hot.
Yeah, he was really hot in that.
Also funny. He's like
I don't know that that was the first thing I saw him in.
That was
the first
thing
that
I saw
him
in.
Like, in a more prominent role.
Maybe,
he was one
yeah.
of the best friends of the movie.
He was on SNL.
So
I know
on
that,
SNL.
Yeah.
He was in like a few more of those like, you know... mid-level movies.
Yeah. But Going the Distance was when he was, like, in a really sort of big movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. And then, of course, in Horrible Bosses,
oh,
which is the best movie ever.
It's so good.
I love it. Like, the first one, it's just... I say that we look at each other and go, Horrible Bosses, and you just kill yourself laughing.
Because every image from that movie just pops back in your
head. I know a lot of people say, oh, Hangover is the best. For me, it's Horrible Bosses.
It's Horrible Bosses, yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, everybody goes crazy about... Look, the first Hangover is
Oh,
great.
It is good.
It's
but
great.
Horrible Bosses... The thing with Hangover is that... It's so ridiculous that it's never going to happen to you. But Horrible Bosses
it could happen.
Very relatable.
I'm sorry, but it could happen. People could... I mean, who doesn't hate their boss, right? Like, you know, if you've got a bad boss, you're going to end up hating them.
Yeah,
and I'm sure in your head you've plotted murder. Like, these guys just take it the next step.
It's so funny. I love it.
Anyway, Ted Lasso. Oh my gosh. What a character.
What a character.
So incredibly optimistic.
Mm.
you know,
a bit
funny,
too optimistic funny, sometimes.
You know, kind, caring, but again, like Roy Kent, strip it all back.
Yeah.
And there is a heartbreaking story there, you know, like there's, and I love how, like, in each episode, there's always something small as to what's happened in his life.
Yeah.
It's like, you keep getting, like, you know, like, you know, my father took me to play darts, and then he died when I was 16.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the stuff like that, that stuff that's shaped him along the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's going through a divorce in the first,
Season.
And you find out, like, you know, through couples therapy and everything, and, like, that it didn't work, and then she's basically leaving him because she feels he's too optimistic. And
she feels like he's... I don't know what she feels like. It's a bit unclear. But it's very clear that he's very much still in love with his wife, and she isn't.
Yeah.
Anymore. And that's what she kind of says.
He says she feels like I'm too much. And, you know, it's essentially that thing of, like, he loves his wife so much, but she probably doesn't love him as much as
he
does.
And the thing is, again, it's like, in a situation like this, it's always two sides.
Yeah.
You don't know what her side is. Maybe she's struggling with something major as well, which in the second season, we get a bit of a clue because he gets a phone call from... So his wife and kid are in the US, and he gets a phone call saying that his son left his lunch.
Yeah.
And he finds that a bit strange because that's never happened. So maybe maybe his wife's
maybe
going,
she's
through,
going
something
through something as well. Yeah.
As well,
we don't know.
You know? We don't know this.
But, he's really
such a good character.
Well written. And Jason is... absolutely killing
it. I was very nervous initially when the show first started. I thought he's going to be one of those insensitive, right-wing, very, very super conservative, you know, like, that sort of a character.
Yeah, see, that's the implication that I got from the trailer.
I think that was intentional, though.
And I was like, I don't like this about him.
No, but I think that was intentional because it throws you off completely, because when you start watching the show, you're like... this guy's so not like that.
Yeah, he's so sweet.
He is so not like that. He is so caring of everyone. He loves everybody.
He literally loves everybody. Asks how everybody is every single time
he enters that building. He's such a good guy.
Oh my God, he's amazing. Yeah,
he's such a good guy. And that's why it's like when he goes through those moments of, you know, he starts having panic attacks and anxiety.
Yeah.
When he goes through those moments, it's even more...
yeah.
heartbreaking, because you're like, you know what he's like.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, like, oh, the cast is so good. The acting is so good. It is such a great...
like, this is the best thing I've ever seen him in.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
I will say, like, this show has been something I have been craving, and I didn't know I was craving
Same. I didn't know I needed this.
Yeah.
But, like, while we were watching it, I was like, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Like, why did I not give it a shot?
Because it's comedy. It's comedy, but it's not comedy, like, ha-ha.
Yeah.
It's real life
with
some, you know, ridiculous situations sometimes, but fun. It's fun. It's real people.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing that I love about this show is this football club is really bad.
I know.
They win nothing.
And then when they do, it's like, oh my God.
No, and the thing is, they win nothing. I think they're pretty, like, they win a few matches here and there, but they, in the first season, they go into relegation, which from what I, looking up, means that they're no longer a Premier League club.
Yeah.
They're now a Championship League club.
Yeah.
So it just kind of lowers their status a little bit. But the overall message of the whole thing is really good, which is, you know, you don't have to win, but you just have to be kind and loving to everyone.
Yeah.
But it also is kind of like, guys, you guys are a football club.
You need to win.
You need to win.
Like, come on.
You know, like, you are, like, the beacons of your community.
And how excited they get when there's, like, a tie.
Oh, they're so excited. The actual football matches.
Oh, yeah. They shoot them so well. They're shot really well.
They're shot really well.
There was the last episode where the final match is happening. Oh. It was like, oh my gosh, you're sitting right there. You're like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then obviously they go into relegation. But it's still so exciting.
Because they didn't win.
And
that was a good thing because in the first, but I honestly thought while we're watching the first season, oh yeah, sure, they'll win the thing and they'll be fine. But they didn't win.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's so realistic.
Yeah.
Like, that is good.
Yeah, that they didn't win.
It's
yeah,
so really good.
And how he says, I swear, like, half the things he says should just now become, like, motivational posters.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's like, you know, what's the animal that has the smallest memory? And they're like, you know, a goldfish. He's like, be a goldfish.
I know, I love that. You know,
it's like, oh my god, that's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
It's like, so you know, good. Have the loss, experience the loss, but then... You know,
just forget about it and move on. Yeah, I really like that. He's got some really cool things. But one thing I wanted to sort of talk about in context of Ted Lasso and Scrubs and all of that. Most of these actors are comedic actors.
Yeah.
And if you actually look, and the reason why I'm sort of thinking of this is I saw the trailer for this movie. I don't know when it's coming out or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The Starling or Starlings. With Melissa McCarthy and Chris O'Dowd.
Mm.
And it's a drama.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy.
Yeah.
And it looks dark. Not dark, but, you know, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, what an interesting choice to pick as the couple. And the story, I think, is like they lose a child and he's a husband. So he has a mental breakdown. He's in an institution.
Yeah.
And she's basically handling everything else.
Yeah.
And how they work through their marriage to get to the other side. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, from what you can see in the trailer, oh my goodness.
Mm.
Like, wow. Beautiful. Yeah. And even in this, like, I've never seen Jason Sudeikis in anything other than hilarious stuff.
Yeah.
But the moments where it's the dramatic stuff is like...
Pfft. Yeah, he's brilliant. He's so good. Like that first scene where he's having a panic attack, the first time he has one. Oh my gosh. He's so good.
He's so good.
Like, oh, that, there's that bit. And like even just before that in the same episode where he yells at Nate.
Mm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like.
So good.
He yells at Nate. And then like two episodes prior to that, he has like a big tuffle with Jamie.
Yes.
Because Jamie's like, I'm not going to practice. Yeah. No. And he's like,
he loses it.
Oh my gosh, he's so good.
He's so good.
Oh.
But I just think, like, comedic, it's very easy for. Not easy, I would say. I'm no actor, after all.
not the face. I am an actor.
yeah, I feel like it's quite hard for dramatic actors to transition into comedy. Because you have to be very good at comedy.
Yeah, it's very rare, right? Yeah.
Whereas you look at a lot of comedic actors and they're very good at comedy, but I feel like they're even better as dramatic actors.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. Like, I mean, one of my favorite dual performers is, of course, Jim Carrey.
Mm. Oh.
Because he can do the slapstick, stupid, hilarious, but when he gets serious...
Truman Show is the biggest example. All bets are off.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. He's great in that. Eternal Sunshine as well. Like, oh my gosh.
Love that movie.
So good.
Mm.
So good.
Jason Bateman
is great in all of the funny stuff. And then, you know, he's in Ozark and he is like.
So good.
So good in that.
So, yeah, I think it's very interesting to see the casting. And the way that the show is written, I think it's a very interesting mix of American and British humor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got the... we're a clean podcast, but we'll just say it anyway. I love how they call him a wanker all the time.
Yeah.
And just the tone of wanker changes.
Yeah.
So he can tell when they're angry and when they're sad, even though they're still calling him wanker. Yeah. It's so funny. Like, you know, it's hilarious. And... then you've got, you know, the slightly more American bits of humor in there as well. I think it's a really nice mix of cultures in there.
They've done a really good job of putting it together. And
it's brilliant.
You know, it's, yeah, I just, I, more than anything, I just want Jason I want Jason to win so badly.
I know. I would love for him to win this.
Because I can't even remember who
else is not. What category is it in? Comedy?
Yeah, comedy and lead actor.
Oh, this would be so good.
And then, you know, all the other 20 nominations, there's writing, and then, like, most of them are nominated in supporting actor. Mm. Like, so I think...
That's good.
Who plays Beard, Nate, Higgins, Roy Kent. So
that's so
like,
cool.
Just the whole bunch of them. So it could that be any great. One of them. And it would be fantastic, no matter who it is.
Love that.
Jason to win.
Oh, I would love it if Jason he wins. So I would badly. Love it if he wins. I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
He really totally does. Deserves it.
He really does. He's so good in this. This is the best thing I've seen him in.
Yeah, actually.
Because I love his comedy. Love it so much. Yeah. But this is like a whole
and
other thing.
To be honest, because I've always seen him in ensemble, I never... Well, this is ensemble as well. Yeah. But this is... He's playing the title, character. He's carrying the show, really. I never, ever would have thought that he had the potential for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. But he clearly does.
Even when he was in, like, Horrible Bosses, he's still one of three.
Exactly.
You know, like, so they're all leading
equally,
it together.
Equally, yeah, exactly. Know? But he's the one who's leading this.
He is Ted Lasso. He's at the top, you know? Yeah. And then everybody else comes after.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's so just, good.
Yeah.
I think he's a producer on this.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was the episode for this week. We're going to try and, not try, we're thinking of looking at Cruella for next week's episode and possibly something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for continuing to listen to us, even though we are pretty sporadic these days.
Yeah.
But we'll try and sort of be a little bit more regular.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for listening. Please review us, follow us on our socials if you can, and yeah, thank you for the support that you've been giving us.
Jamie, touch it to the gosh,
stop.
Sorry, it's stuck in my head now.
I'm gonna be singing this the whole time now.
Me too. Anyway,
we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.